Well, the young people have been great tonight, haven't they? Amen. Tell you what, that handbell choir was amazing. I'm glad I wasn't in that group. Somebody hit me with a handbell, and they're passing them back and forth, and it was amazing. Well, they were second in the nation in their competition, and no one to guide them, just doing teamwork things, just working together to make beautiful music. I tell you, that was tremendous. Just did a great job. But you noticed every once in a while there was no fighting, there was no arguing. Give me that bell. I'll take that. It's my turn. Just really great. So great blessing. And then Allison, her brother, I mean, my goodness, great blessing tonight. Great job. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16. A tremendous passage of scripture tonight. Even one that I think fits in with our theme of through the eyes of Christ for missions. As we all know, that Acts is a story of Paul and his missionary journeys. But you'll notice in Acts chapter 16, we looked at it briefly last week. Verse 1, then came he to Derbe. This is Paul and Lystra. Now keep in mind, Paul has separated from Barnabas. They had an argument about John Mark. I think most of the people agreed with Paul at the time. But in the end, Barnabas was really the one right. And, sometimes it does take a little while for someone to prove themselves. I think Paul was of the mindset that being a missionary is like being a soldier. We know that's the case because he wrote the book of Ephesians. And so it is like being a soldier. You're supposed to be tough. You're supposed to handle roughness. You're supposed to be able to take a heavy hit and keep right on going. And I think John Mark was a little fearful of that. And many a person has been fearful of rough times. I think all of us are fearful of that sometimes. Well, John Mark was no different, so he decided to go back. He stayed with his mom, apparently, and then the Lord worked on his heart, and he began to grow, and later on, he became a great blessing to the Apostle Paul. It's obvious that Paul and Barnabas were reunited, and John Mark, and Paul wrote and said, John Mark is important to me, he's profitable to me. And so he had made a complete turnaround, and we don't know what exactly it was. Maybe he was afraid of being killed. Maybe he was afraid of the trouble. Maybe he was afraid of all of the contention that was around when Paul would go someplace and preach, and the Jewish people would be against him, and he just didn't like the fussing and fighting. And yet the gospel was, he was trying to get the gospel out. And then you can possibly see that maybe he just didn't like the hardships. Maybe didn't have much food to eat. Maybe there were times they didn't have a place to stay and they'd sleep outside. And he said, I'll go home and stay with mom. I've got my own bedroom and it's a little more comfortable. I think a lot of people are fearful of losing the comforts of home. So they don't even consider serving the Lord. But the Lord takes good care of his servants. And he gives you the grace when hard times come. And so you'll notice, if you would, Paul is now speaking about Timothy. And notice in verse 1, named a certain disciple was there named Timothy, or Timotheus, the son of a Jewish, son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, so his mom's Jew, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now we looked last week at, the Eunice, his mother, and grandmother, and the great heritage that Timothy had. But you'll see, Paul had him circumcised so that he could reach out to the Jewish people. Paul was very big on all things to all people. If it's something that I can do that's right, I want to reach people. I want to witness to people. I want to see people saved. Now, let's say you work for the CIA or the FBI. You work for one of the government agencies, and there's a law against you witnessing to them. You have to be much more discreet. You might catch somebody before work or after work. You might catch somebody during a break or during lunchtime and talk with them about the Lord. You just have to be wise about it. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. But we're all responsible to share the gospel with people around us. And God has us placed in certain places that no one else can be. I can't win FBI agents to Christ because I'm not around them. I can't win CIA agents because I'm not around them. But many of you that work in those places, you can. Now you have to be wise about it. And many times the greatest testimony you can have is just the sweetness of spirit and the cooperative spirit. and the spirit of love and the joy of the Lord in your heart and the peace that passes all understanding. And you just are different than everybody else. And yet we have to say things. We can't just let our lifestyle make all the difference. We have to use the lifestyle as a light. But we have to speak up and share their testimony with people. Well, you'll notice, if you would, in verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered to them decrees for to keep. Now, you got to pause for a minute here. Which decrees is the writer talking about? And we know that Luke wrote the book. A little later on in this passage, he joins Paul and Silas. We'll see that in a minute. But you'll notice the decrees are in chapter 15 and verse number 19. Wherefore, my sentence is this, and just these three verses, that we trouble them not. We don't trouble the Gentiles with all of the laws of the Jewish the community. You'll notice it says, which among the Gentiles are turned to God, but would they write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols. You stay away from idols. Well, that's a given. Number two, and from fornication. Well, that is Christian living. And from things strangled. Now, to the Jewish people, an animal that had been strangled then offered in offering was unclean. They didn't want anything to do with strangling. You don't find Jewish people strangling one another. They might use a knife. They might shed blood, but they just didn't strangle. It was offensive to them. So James is saying here, look, don't eat anything that has been strangled to death. It's unclean. Well, then you'll notice from a Jewish point of view, and then he says, and from blood. Obviously, you don't eat meat that's still got the blood in it, raw. You cook it and get the blood out of it. Well, notice, if you would, those are the decrees that he gives. Now, keep in mind, the Jewish the Jewish people that were traveling around were saying, look, it's okay to trust Christ as your Savior, but you've got to keep the law and do these things and other things in order to stay saved. Well, notice, if you would, they were called Judaizers. And notice, if you would, in verse 5, and excuse me, verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep. Now, notice this little catch here, this little phrase, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. So the Jerusalem church had sent out missionaries, and they had planted churches, and they had been ordained. Now, this word ordained is the word, Greek word krino. It's to judge. It's to make a decision. So when a young man came and said, I want to go and be plant a church in such and such, or I want to go be a missionary, the disciples, you'll notice here, the apostles and elders would sit down and judge and then separate them for the gospel. And so this word, krino, became ordained. And it's, they put their hands on them and sent them forth. And that's what we do. We did that 2 months ago with Matt Gardner. There was a morning meeting where we heard his wife's testimony. Savannah gave her testimony and her call. It was amazingly similar to Matt. They were called together. And we heard that call and we send them out. And they serve the Lord as the Lord has called them. Well, you'll notice here that were ordained for the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And notice this. And so were the churches established in the faith. These ordained preachers had gone around and planted these churches and taught the people according to these new decrees. They were adding it in because there was confusion. Do you get saved by Jesus alone? Do you have to keep the law? Do you have to keep offering a lamb? Keep offering sacrifices? And these laws, this new decree said, no, it's Jesus. You trust him and him alone. And you don't stay saved by doing the works of the law. Just stay away from these things so that you can be a testimony to both Jew and Gentile. And the Gentiles were just thrilled. The Jewish proselytes, Gentile proselytes that had joined the Jewish religion, they were all thrilled to death because this meant that my faith was real. Now, you'll notice, if you would, in verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith. Literally, they were, we get our English word stereo from this word. Stereo is this word. And if you hear stereo, it comes from different places. It makes the music real. It makes the music blend. It makes the music strong. It literally means solid. So a stereo music is solid music. And so they use this word to establish, to make stereo the churches so that they're working together. They're solid. Notice, if you would, established in the faith and increased in number daily. They were seeing people saved every day. Oh, I tell you, it'd be great to be able to see this. And my prayer is that we can see more people saved. We would become better soul winners, all of us. We'd go out on visitation and that the Holy Spirit would use us and we'd do a better job of inviting people to church and giving the gospel, sharing our testimony, getting through the plan of salvation. When you notice, Paul and Silas now are excited about the things of the Lord. They've gone around to these new churches. They've given them the new decrees, and everything is growing, and the gospel is spreading, and people are excited about the things of the Lord. But then you'll notice something happens in chapter 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were, here's a word, very unusual, you rarely see it, forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, why would God say, don't go to Asia? The Holy Spirit, no one to this date in time had ever gone to Europe with the gospel. It was a dark continent. So you'll notice in verse 7, and after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Bithynia is a part of Asia. Now watch this. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And keep in mind, the scriptures are not yet complete. And there stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, he pled with him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, Macedonia is a part of Europe. Now, watch this. And after he had seen the vision, immediately... Now, you'll notice in verse 8, and they passing by. So Luke had not yet joined them. But now in verse 10, we endeavored. Luke joins Paul and Silas in their missionary travel, the second one here, right here in this passage, right here in verse number 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Assuredly, we were certain, listen to this, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Assuredly gathering, the original word there is for meeting face to face. We were certain, because we met face to face, that God had called us to do this. And I think that's important for us to meet face to face with the Lord on any great matter. Assuredly gathering. We're certain God brought us together. We met face to face. Well, notice, if you would, in verse number 11, therefore, loosing from Troas. Now, you'll notice one little word, a big word, in verse number 10 that we didn't look at, but you'll notice whenever Paul heard this vision or saw this vision, help us over Macedonia. Look at verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, and that should be our response to the urgings of the Spirit of God in our lives. Anytime the Holy Spirit works in your heart, we should respond immediately. And that's Paul. Paul always wanted to obey. And folks tonight, every one of us in this room, we ought to want to obey the Holy Spirit. We ought to want to obey the Lord. Lord, whatever you show me, I want to do it for your glory. I want to do it with all my heart, and I want to do it now. I want to obey immediately. So you see, they go. Now watch what happens in verse 11. Therefore, loosing Troas, we came straight course. They didn't deviate, straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. Now watch, and from this to Philippi, now, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. You'll notice also, and a colony. Now this word colony, it was a Roman colony. What it is, it's in Europe, but it is, anytime there was a Roman colony, that city had done something to please Rome. And so they had been granted all the rights of Roman citizenship. So you must understand, that would be like if everybody in the D.C. area did something so wonderful and we were all outsiders and we were granted American citizenship, what that would mean to all of us. Well, it was like a great treasure to them. So they were valuing this Roman citizenship, and it gave them the rights. Now, keep in mind, watch this. This is in Philippi. If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians, and you'll see the effect this has. Turn to Philippians chapter number 3. You'll notice Ephesians, Philippians. Notice this chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation, this is the word politeo, which is the word for citizenship. For our conversation, our citizenship, our life is in heaven. That meant something to the people from Philippi, because they had been granted Roman citizenship. And so Paul is playing upon that by saying, your citizenship, your conversation is in heaven. You are citizens of two countries, the country of heaven and the country of Philippi. You've been granted this great privilege of citizenship. And folks, we've been granted the great privilege of citizenship as Christians. You already have a home in heaven. Your name is written down there. God's prepared for you. And notice what he says, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. Why? Because he's the leader of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. How many of you have any interest in going to heaven and getting a brand new, perfect body? That would be wonderful. I mean, the knee doesn't ache. The back doesn't hurt. Every morning, well, I'll tell you, just don't want you to repeat it. I'm just sort of embarrassing. You know, I get up in the morning and I noticed it was harder to get my socks on. I get up in the morning and I reached in and I couldn't reach my toes. What is going on? You know, trying to get the socks on. Get my shoes on. And I said, man, what is happening? Anybody here have that issue come up at all? Brother Richard? Okay. As you get a little bit older, you can't reach as far. That is not funny, Melody. I see you laughing. So you know what? I said, I'm going to fix this by God's grace. So every morning I get in the shower. And you know, warm water is good for you. You know that? So I get in the shower and let that water, warm water run, and I start doing this. And I try to get down. I get my socks on. Oop, 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 there's the left sock. Oh, now there's the right sock. You know, I try to work. And that's why I spend 5-7 minutes in the shower getting limbered up so I can put my shoes on. I never did that before. I'd like to have a new body. I don't know about y'all. I'd like to have one that doesn't get tweaked. I'd like to have one that sleeps all the time. Now, our new body in heaven, nowhere does it ever reference sleep. How many of you like to go on and on and on and never have to sleep? Me, kept put me in that crowd. I like that. I used to hate to take naps on Sunday afternoon. Now I get up Sunday morning praying for my nap to come. You know, you're just trying to get it all worked out. You know, you're looking at it. Well, I noticed we're going to get a new body. And the Lord says, I've got it prepared for you. Your citizenship is in heaven. So keep in mind, Paul knew what that meant to them. He said, you've been granted Roman colony status. Everybody in the city is a Roman citizen. You remember whenever Paul was, a little bit later on in the book of Acts, you're going to see Paul says that you weren't allowed to be a Roman citizen without a trial. Well, the Jewish people are going to get Paul and beat him. And he says, oh, is it customary you guys beat Roman citizens? Oh, man. They had bound him up to get ready to beat him. And this soldier was terrified. And he said, you're a Roman citizen? He said, yeah, I was born that way. And he looked at him and says, it cost me a great sum to be a Roman citizen. So this colony was granted citizenship, Philippi. So when you read Philippians, you realize this is a Roman colony, a whole city full of Roman citizens. They were the creme de la creme of the world. And so whenever he said, you only not only have a citizenship here, but you have a conversation of citizenship in heaven. Wow, it meant something to them. I think it's important for everyone here to fly out of the country some, so you can come back into immigration and take your passport out. And that guy can look at it. And every once in a while, we have a missions trip, and there's 15 of us. We come back in, and we go through immigration The guy from immigration looks at us and he sees us all standing in line, same shirts. He recognizes, he says, welcome home. You know what that means? You can drink the water. Oh, that's wonderful. You know what that means? We're safe. It is a wonderful thing to be a citizen of America. Well, wait until you are a citizen of heaven. Now, everybody is. So this Philippian colony, boy, that rang notes with them. Beautiful music. We're citizens also of heaven. Well, notice now, he says in verse number 12, and we were in that city abiding a certain day, so they were there. But now keep in mind, no one's saved here. No one's heard the gospel here. Now, this is Romans. All these people are Roman citizens, but they're Philippians. But they've never heard the gospel. There's not one Christian in this city. So he goes down to a riverbank where people go to pray. They're religious, but they're not saved. So you'll notice in verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. So they didn't necessarily have a church there. They worshiped different idols. But you'll notice here, he goes down to where they are. He tries to find people that have a sensitive heart spiritually. Now, folks, at your workplace, no one's got it written on their forehead, I've got spiritual needs. But if you're a testimony and you talk right and you say, thank the Lord and praise the Lord, and you pray for your food, you're going to be recognized pretty quickly. Now, there's somebody spiritual there. There's somebody that goes to church probably. Well, there's spiritual interest. And when somebody has a hurt, they just got cancer, had a child to die, had a mother sick, their spiritual needs. And God places us at those times. Well, notice if you would in verse number 13, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. He looked for people that had spiritual needs. These women were at the riverside praying. I'm sure there were other men too, but probably very few of them. So the women had a spiritual nature about them. Well, notice verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which, notice this phrase, worshiped God. Now, she's doing the exact same thing that Cornelius was. He was a devout person. And you'll notice he wanted to reach out, but he didn't know who to reach out to. Look back over, if you would, at chapter number 10 of Acts. And look at this one phrase of chapter 10, verse 2. A devout man. This is Cornelius. It means a devoted man, one that's got his heart in it, and one that feared God. He had great respect for God. He didn't know who he was, but he was religious with all his house. He taught the kids to respect God. They probably prayed for their meals. They may have prayed at night before he put his children to bed. Now, we'll ask God one of these days. Maybe we'll meet him. We'll know a little bit more about him. But right now, let's pray you get a good night's sleep. Well, notice, which gave much alms to the people. He knew that it was right to be good to others, so he just gave a lot of his money away. And he prayed to God always. He was always going, now, God, you know, I just really, you know, I really need to know more about you. Well, notice what happens in verse number 4. And when he looked down upon, this was an angel of God, verse 3. He was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? This is Cornelius. He said unto him, the angel says unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Verse 6, and he lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Go contact Peter. He'll tell you what you ought to do. He's not saved, but he's worshiping God in the best way he knows how. Well, Lydia, let's go back over to chapter 16. She's doing the exact same thing. Now, let's picture She's a devoted person. Her heart's in it. She's sincere, but she's sincerely wrong. But God, I don't believe, ever let someone that's sincere and sincerely wrong, but wants to know the truth, I don't believe he ever lets those people die and go to hell without hearing the gospel. That's the reason I think there are some people. We had a missionary come to our church. How many of you remember this? Maybe 30 years ago. And he told the story. He was in Korea and he was riding his motorcycle and he was going back to see somebody else. And he stopped, got lost, and he stopped over. And there was a little house on the side of the road. And he walked up and he tapped on the door. And the guy came and he looked at him. And he said, "Hi, I'm missionary so and so. I'm looking for some address or some person." And he looked at him and says, "Are you the man to tell me?" He said, "Tell you what?" He said, "Are you the man to tell me who put that son in its place?" He looked at him and said, "Yes, I am." And he told him about Jesus Christ. That's happened. I've heard of that story twice. But you know the sad thing? He said, "I've been praying 20 something years that someone would tell me who put that son in its place." You know what that tells me? God didn't fail. But there were some Christians that didn't surrender. And he had to wait 25 years to hear the gospel. How many of us would like to be in that position? Have to wait 25 years to hear the truth. That's why missions is important. That's why giving to missions. That's why going on missions trips. That's why going yourself if God calls you. The Lord's not going to call everybody here. He's going to call everybody to pray. I would urge you, every one of you, to get the cards that have all of our missionaries on it. And every night, you pray about each one of those missionaries. I do that. I take those prayer cards and I open them up. And now that Janet and I have our eyes open, we talked about it. We're going to pray again together each night before we go to sleep for each one of those cards. Sometimes there's three on a card. Sometimes there's one. You and I can reach out to them, put a hedge about them and pray for them and love them through our prayers. And yet many times we just get so busy watching a TV show. We're doing this, we're doing that. Lay up treasure in heaven. When you give, it's a sacrifice. Listen to this. I don't want you to think about this other than just what I'm saying to you. If you're a Christian, you're trying to do what's right. You're trying to invest in spiritual things. You tithe to your local church. You give of an offering to your local church. Maybe missions. So you give maybe 10% offering, maybe 10, 15, 20%, 5%, 3% to missions. Do you have a child? I want my children to know that's right. So you put them in a Christian school. You're making a great sacrifice financially. But how much is the soul of your children worth? How much is the soul of Lydia worth? Of someone like that lived in the mud hut that I never got their names worth this morning? How much would it be worth? Now that missionary didn't stay. He said, "I got my motorcycle and I rode on to the place where I had to be because I needed to be there. I just got lost." He didn't get lost. He got found. He was right on the right path. God just gave him a little detour. And the Lord may give you a detour and me. We were with Randy Alderman. We were riding up with him, our missions team, 2 or 3 years ago. And he's asked me to come back and preach to all of his preachers. And he's got 30 churches going. He said, "Pastor, could you please come back as soon as I get a chance? And I want to fly over and preach to his missionaries and missionaries' wives and help them. They're just desperate for help and for encouragement. Anytime somebody comes alongside you and says the same things, it's just a new voice. It's like an evangelist coming to us. It just bears more weight." Well, we're riding on the road and we're driving along. And he said, "Yes, we have a church down that road." And we're an hour and a half from his house. I said, "Oh, did you live here?" He said, "Oh, no, I broke down here." "You broke down here?" He said, yeah, my truck broke down. I needed a new water pump. And there's this guy right over here, right there in that shop. He is a mechanic. He's a good one. We don't have American parts much, but he just happened to have water pump for my truck. And I just happened to tell him about how wonderful Jesus was. And he listened, spiritually needy. God knew it. So I sat down. He said, it cost me half a day, but he got saved. His wife got saved. Family got saved. And he said, would you help us start a church? He's now got a church down that road because of a breakdown. Spiritually sensitive. Paul is at the riverbank. He sees Lydia, spiritually sensitive. And he begins to share the gospel with her. Notice in verse number 14, and the certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple. And by the way, seller of purple meant she was well off because purple was expensive. Well, you notice of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God and heard us. Now listen to this next phrase, whose heart the Lord opened. She heard us, and notice why. And folks, this is important for all of us in this room to get this little thought here. Notice who worshiped God. In other words, she was paying attention to God, but notice this, and heard us. So she was listening to us, but notice the next phrase, whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord opens hearts when we're interested. So pray your children have an interest in spiritual things so God can open their heart and fill it with spiritual goodies. A love for Christ, a desire to do right. Pray for an open heart. Well, notice the next phrase, that she attended. The fruit of an open heart is she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now, you'll notice that this word attended here is literally to hold the mind. She was fixated on what he was saying. You mean this Jesus died for me? In her mind. And Jesus died for everyone in this room. He was hung on a cross. It was God's Son. God's Son died for me. All this is new. Notice the fruit. Notice what happens. And when she was baptized, she accepted Christ in verse 14 and said, can I get baptized in this river? She was all in. And then notice in verse 15, and when she was baptized and her household was saved. She's just like Cornelius. She had spiritual interest and her household picked it up. That's so important for everybody in this room, for every husband and wife to have spiritual interest so that you are attentive to the Spirit of God so he can open your heart and open your children's heart so they have the same desire for the Lord that you have. It's very scriptural. And her household, and notice this, and she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, if you've judged that I've been waiting for this day for a long time and I've been faithful, notice, come to my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And this little word constrain is kind of, it's really kind of amazing word. She forced us. She's like, you got to stay with me. You got to stay with me. Please, you got to stay with me. And he did. You know, I was reading a little bit about Jim Elliot and the sacrifice that was made with the Aki Indians 66 years ago on January the 3rd. Five missionary men flew on a plane into a little island in the middle of a river. They've been dropping gifts to the Aki Indians. By the way, Aki means fierce or savage. And those five men, one morning, after they thought they were friendly, the friendly group came and accepted their gifts and then went back into the woods, and five other ones came out with arrows and bows and shot and killed all of them. And this one, Nate Saint, who was a pilot, his wife and Elliot's wife refused to leave. They said, we've already paid a great price of investment into these families. They still don't know the Lord. But God worked in their heart through the blood of their husbands. And they lived 2 years with the Aka Indians. Won their respect. What courage would that have taken? To lose your husband and then move in with the Aka Indians. And then one of the greatest parts of the story that never gets told. St. James, Saint the pilot, son Stephen, committed his life to that tribe. He lived there, grew up there, was saved there. Guess who baptized Steve? Saint. Minya. Minya was the man that killed his father with an arrow. It took somebody that was totally devoted that said, I'm all in. Now the entire tribe has trusted Christ, hundreds and thousands. And the area all knows of Christ. Why? Somebody like an Apostle Paul listened to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's costly. But if you were the Lord, and I remember when Jeremy and Mandy went to the mission field, Susan and I said, well, and I had preachers come up to me and say, are you crazy? It's not safe. Look, they're not mine. They're the Lord's. I had a lady in our church said, Pastor, are you crazy? Are you going to let your children go? They're not mine. And we even had the thought that it might happen one day. As they would go back into villages, you don't know what's going to happen. Yet, somebody's got to be willing to say, Lord, I am yours. And let the Lord put his hedge around you. Tonight, could I ask you this? Have you opened up your heart as a Christian and said, Lord, I'm all yours? As Lydia did. I said, would you judge me? Have I been faithful? And let the Lord judge you to be faithful. Lord, I want to give of my wealth. I want to give of the money you've given to me. It's not mine. And Lord, would you use me? Tonight, look at what happened in Philippi with two or three preachers on a riverbank, somebody that needed spiritual needs that got saved, and now a whole city is affected, Philippi, because they knew what it meant to be a citizen of Rome and now a citizen of heaven. If you're that, have you opened up your heart like Lydia did? And attended to the words spoken, whether it's from this pulpit or from the Word of God, let the Lord speak to your heart tonight. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. Ask Brother Brandon to come and lead us in just a verse of him. We'll just play a verse or two. If you need to come tonight, remember it's the Lord's Supper time. We'll do it like we've been doing it. If you need to come tonight and pray, I encourage you to do that. We're going to have a word of prayer. And if you need to come to this altar and say, Lord, I want things right between you, Lord, between you and I. I want to open my heart to you. Young person, husband, wife, open your heart to the Lord. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.